You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Hi, Jamie Lee. Are you there?
Kelly, good to be with you.
Good to be with you too. Thank you for joining me today.
Not a problem.
So I will get straight into it. Something a little bit more personal to you probably. You've put forward changes to a land transport amendment bill where windscreen washers at intersections will be fined up to 150 on the spot by police. And you expect this to pass into law extremely quickly. I'd just like to know why this is such a pressing issue for you.
Well, in fact, it passed yesterday in the Parliament, and it just needs to be signed by the Governor-General now. For me, it's a local issue that local constituents in my electorate and around the wider County's Manukau policing area have talked to me about, as well as County's Manukau Police. We do have a lot of window washers on intersections in County's Manukau, and the real concern from the public and the police is that they're quite threatening and intimidating, but also police know that gangs have been involved. There's a bit of a turf warfare out in Manukau with those window washers on the intersection. And there's also been many, many reports of crime that's spun out of the window washing. The police know that where intensive window washing activity takes place, they see more robberies, they see more harassment, they see more people ended up in fights. They've also seen members of the public being attacked by window washers. And, you know, school children, there's been reports of that them being attacked in Green Lane. There was a young boy in Mount Wellington that was hit over his head with a copper pipe last year, and he already had a brain injury. Councils in the likes of Whangarei and Nelson and Christchurch, they've been dealing with this too. So what police suggested to me was to put in place an infringement regime where police would have the power to move the window washers on, and they could issue a fine too if they felt it was appropriate. Giving police a tool here to be able to help keep the public safe has been the goal, and I'm pleased we've been able to do that.
So obviously the goal is to keep the public safe and to stop, as you say, crime kind of spiralling out of this. Do you think, though, that the people that are kind of participating in the window washing, their aim is to make more money? Obviously, they're not making enough elsewhere. Do you think because of this now having a fine, they might look elsewhere to, go other extremes to put food on the table?
I think there's actually been a bit of a misconception around the individuals that are doing this. Yes, there will be some that are down on their luck and are doing this because they're desperate. And I actually think the police are probably best to connect those people with the social service agencies. Up until now, councils have had to deal with this, and councils, they're just not resourced in the same way, and they have to take prosecution through the court system, which is even worse, actually, from the police coming along and trying to move them on. But most of the people that I've had reported to me by my contacts in the police, by business associations that see this right outside their businesses, is that it's mostly either kids that are getting involved and being used by gangs to push us along, or it's adults that are relatively able-bodied and could get into work, but they happen to have an activity here which can earn them several hundred dollars a day, tax-free, and it's an easy route to money, whereas they could be getting into other jobs, looking at something else.
Can I ask how payment for service like windscreen washing is much different from, say, busking or a cafe worker receiving a tip?
There's probably some differences there in that it's a roadside where they have a captive audience, where the public there have often been subjected to quite harassing, intimidating behaviour, and ultimately it's led to other crimes being committed too. Someone sitting on the side of the road on the footpath busking is not exactly getting up in your face and forcing themselves on you whether you like it or not. And I'd say that busking is far less intimidating. But social service agencies work closely with the police all the time. Mm. And if there is an individual that is so desperate, the only thing that they can do, I'd suggest that the police would actually be pretty good in working with them and connecting them with social service agencies.
So as part of this amendment, will you ask that social services are directly involved with those that are fined?
Well, that's a given. I know that police, through the youth aid agencies, through their family teams, they are very keen to find ways in which they can work with people to try and improve their lives. The police, their end goal here is always keeping the public safe and helping people to ensure they live a better life. And police do work closely with families, where there's families that are at risk where they've got issues in their life. Police work pretty closely with the Ministry of Social Development, the District Health Board, to try and help find solutions. So the police here, they're saying to me, they want to have a tool to help them get involved. They haven't previously had any powers in their toolbox to get involved unless it actually turns into a crime. And so we want to be able to give police the opportunity to prevent crime from happening here, and I think that'll be a good outcome.
So moving on to the recent news of Meteria Ture. Ture admitted last night to enrolling at an address where she did not live in order to vote for a friend who was running in the Mount Albert electorate in 1993. We've just heard now that she doesn't plan on resigning, but that she won't be seeking a ministerial position if a Labour-Greens coalition government is successfully formed after this year's election. What's your take on this?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I was watching the developments literally 20 minutes ago in the news. Look, I think this is an issue that the Greens and actually Labour have to work through. When you're a Member of Parliament, you put yourself in a position where the standards are relatively high. And whilst I don't think anyone is going to say that what happened 20-odd years ago, and every Member of Parliament should be perfect, no one's saying that. But what I think the public would be looking at is for her to be taking accountability and taking responsibility. And so making the decision that she's had, I guess, is a step in that direction. Their job is going to be to convince the public that the Labour Party and the Green Party have credibility around Meteria Ture and her leadership. In terms of us and the National Party, our job is just to continue to get on, govern, provide policies that we think will benefit New Zealand. Whatever situation or mess the Labour and Green Party are in, that's really for them to work out.
Actually, ACT leader David Seymour says Ture must resign as an MP immediately because of her admitted abuse of the welfare system in 1990s and her abuse of voters' trust during the past weeks. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Well, David's free to express what he wants. I think the leadership of the Green Party is a question for the Greens to answer. But I think when you go to the public and you say that you want to have the trust and responsibility placed upon you by the public to be able to govern the country and spend taxpayer money and implement policies that you believe in, you have to go to the public and be able to convince them that you have the credibility and you have the standing to be able to do that. And that's a question the Greens and Labour, and I say the Greens and Labour because they're in this together. We know the Labour Party, based on the current electoral mass, for them to be able to govern, they would need to have the Greens and New Zealand First there. So they're in this together. They need to work out their leadership and work out whether they believe that the public should place trust and confidence in Meteria Ture to be part of the government. Even if she's not a minister, she said she would stay as a co-leader of the Green Party. So she's right in there in the mix, and I don't think it actually changes very much today. It's still the same Green Party.
What's obviously not the same is the Labour Party. So Jacinda's recent appointment as Leader of the Opposition, do you believe she is a better candidate for the job than Andrew Little was?
Oh, look, I've known Jacinda for quite some time. We used to do breakfast TV together. She's a thoroughly nice person, and I think she's a good person at heart. The Labour Party is still the same Labour Party, though. You can change the person at the top, but the fundamentals are still there. There's still the same 32 MPs in Parliament right now. They're still the same party organisation infrastructure. Yeah, they're going to change their signs, they're going to change their logo and their slogan, but it's still essentially the same Labour Party. And so whereas we believe that we've got a growing economy, we're creating more jobs for New Zealanders, crime is reducing, more children are getting an education, we'd say that we still have a policy mix which is working for New Zealand, and we haven't yet seen anything from the Labour Party that would suggest they're quite ready to implement policies for the country.
So
their
maybe
leadership's up to them. Their leadership's up to them. But I'd still say you can't just view the leadership alone. You have to view the whole organisation there, just as with the government. It's not just Bill English. It's Bill English plus 25 ministers plus another 30-odd MPs there.
So if we look at the whole organisation and then even further to their supporters, Labour has seen support and donations flooding in since her appointment. So, you know, there is obviously quite a large landslide of support at this time. Is this worrying for National it's so close to the election date?
Well, it's understandable that they'd get some support coming in. When we changed the leader, we saw different levels of support based on the different personality of the leader. But as I was saying, the leader is just one part of the equation. It's the whole system that's sitting there. And in terms of the Labor Party versus the National Party, National's had 9 years. We've enjoyed relatively good support, but you have to earn that support. You have to earn the trust and confidence of New Zealanders, and you have to be able to show them a depth of policy. You have to be able to show them an understanding of what it is to govern the country. And so Jacinda's relatively new in the leadership. Look, I wish her well as an individual. She is a good person. But in terms of the leadership of the country, I guess New Zealanders will be looking to her. They'll be looking for depth. They'll be looking for some policy understanding. They'll be looking for her to answer questions about why she's fit to lead the country. I think our track record of being able to grow the economy, improve services to New Zealanders on the health, education, law and order front, proves that we have had a policy mix which has been good for New Zealanders, and we'll be taking that track record to the election over the coming few weeks.
Great,
only
thank you.
5 weeks until the polls open. It's a short period of time.
It is a very short period of time. Well, I wish you luck. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks. Nice to be with you.
Nice to be with you. See you later.
Bye-bye. That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.